Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danny Meringue.
I found two empty bottles of a particularly decent Chateau Noir Bordeaux 57 in your rubbish.
Dusty Hera.
You went through my garbage?
This is Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app.
I find it particularly offensive that you use them to wash down an order from something called Macho Taco.
And Portland's sports leader, 1080.
I would never drink a Bordeaux with a Macho Taco.
The Fan.
It was a burrito machissimo.
Hour number two, Danny and Dusty with you on this Thursday afternoon. Round one of the NBA draft yesterday. Round two is today because everybody's going to be enthralled with the coverage of the second round of the NBA. The Brooklyn Nets have already traded the 36th overall pick. They're out of that spot, which is where a lot of people thought that they were going to select the Blazers' first round pick, Young Hong Sen, who the Blazers took 16th overall. We talked a lot about him, hour number one. If you missed that, go check out the podcast in the Odyssey app or at 1080thefan.com. But the first round was, I mean, that was probably the most surprising selection, was the Blazers of Young Hong Sen at 16.
I think that's pretty easy to go with.
But there were also a lot of stunners that happened throughout the course of the day. And we knew, and we talked about this, 1 and 2 were set with Cooper Flagg going to Dallas and Dylan Harper going to the San Antonio Spurs. And those guys are going to be really good in those spots in Texas.
And I was told that pick number 3, the Philadelphia 76ers, from a source in Philadelphia, they did not want to move back. They had discussions on the clock at 2 with San Antonio one last time, trying to move up and get Dylan Harper. But when they got to 3, they made the pick that they thought was best, and that was Vijay Edgecombe.
Okay. After VJ Edgecombe, it was the Charlotte Hornets on the clock at 4. Mm-hmm. They went with Con Knipl out of Duke. He stays in the state of North Carolina. Mm-hmm. Please tell me you saw the entirety of his press conference.
Yes, about him going to Duke.
I will read the entirety of Con Knipl's press conference.
It's weird as hell.
He is probably going, is what? This my real life?
Yeah.
Okay. And by the way, this is start to finish his availability. Con, you completed your first year at Duke. You're a good student, so I'm curious, what are you studying at Duke? And being in Charlotte, that's actually North Carolina, so is that going to make it easy to do correspondence classes or continue your education? Con Knipl, yeah, we'll see. That's not something I was really thinking about. Question, I'm sure your parents are. Con, yeah, it was something I was really thinking about, but obviously they're being close, so that's opened up a realm of possibility for me. Question number 3. Con, you had a short amount of time as a Hornet. Already it's been talked about how you'd be able to fit in with the young core they have there. Have you thought about this roster and how you can fit and make an impact in Charlotte? Con, yeah, I feel really confident about my ability to play with any group of guys on the floor and be an effective player with guys like LaMelo, who has the ball in his hands a lot, and talented guys like Brandon Miller. Being able to play off the ball with them and be effective, especially as a movement shooter spacing the floor, I think it'll be a good fit. Question. What were you going to major at Duke, Con? Yeah, I was going to declare a major in history.
End scene.
Press conference over.
Welcome to Charlotte, where no one cares about
they
you.
They asked 4 questions. 3 of them are about a guy who is a one and done, continuing his education at Duke. And so, he obviously did not care. There was one basketball question, and he gave a very thoughtful answer to it. The other three questions, he was just like, can you get me out of here? Yeah. And thankfully, the NBA's PR is in charge of that one. They got him the hell out of there.
It was like, what? Like, the guy's having the night of his life getting selected fourth overall in the NBA. And you ask him about college? And not even college basketball. You ask him about education. Like, what the hell are you doing? I will say, Charlotte also took calls at that spot. There were multiple teams that were looking at trading up to grab Con.
Okay. So, all right. Well, after that, this is where it got weird. And this is where it really got weird.
And we talked about this yesterday. I said, watch for the Utah Jazz to be the dark horse for Ace Bailey.
Ace Bailey had representatives who botched his entire draft prospect process. He did not work out for a single team.
Nope.
Canceled the only workout he had scheduled, which was with the Philadelphia 76ers last Friday, said, nah, I'm good. Okay. He goes fifth to Rutgers. His representation went public and said he does not want to go to Utah.
Yeah. They were trying to steer him to Washington. That's where they were trying to steer him to.
Austin Ainge and Danny Ainge said, okay, bet. He's going to play in Utah. The look on his face, man. It looked like he saw a ghost.
Oh, he went, oh, bleep. And so I talked to some sources in Utah, and they all said he should be excited. And it doesn't, I'm not talking about Utah and all that. Like, number one, guys that go to Utah, it's much like Portland. They get there, and they're like, this place kind of rules. Like, I like it here. But he should be excited because going to Utah, Austin Ainge is not, even though he's Danny's son, he does not have attachment to anyone else on the roster. His first two guys, Ace Bailey at 5 and Walter Clayton Jr. at 20, are the guys, or excuse me, was it 19 or 18? Those are his guys. When he gets to Utah, Ace, Lowry, Walker, and now Walter Clayton Jr., he is going to have the ball endlessly. And he's going to have very, 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 very good veteran support or good player support in Lowry and Walker, because Lowry doesn't need the ball. Lowry's the best off-ball seven-footer maybe I've ever seen.
Dude, they're long, too, with Ace Bailey being 6'10 in shoes, Taylor Hendricks coming back.
Taylor Hendricks is 6'9 barefoot.
And so you have Kessler, Hendricks, Markkanen, Bailey, and then you have little guys in Collier and Sexton.
And from what I've been told, Walter Clayton Jr. is very likely going to start. He's a 6'1" guard, but everywhere else, Ace is 6'7.5" or was it 6'6.5" barefoot. He's playing at a roughly about almost 6'8". Lowry is 7 foot. Walker Kessler is 7'1". Like, Taylor Hendricks is 6'9.5" or 6'10" barefoot. Like, they're big as hell. It's very interesting. He should want to go to that team because he is going to have the ball a metric crap ton.
Okay. After that, Trey Johnson's slide did not go as far as many expected. He goes 6th to Washington. That seemed like they were like, oh, crap. The guy that we were trying to get is gone. Trey Johnson.
And they had Washington did have some talks as well. And this was anticipated that 6, 7, and 8 would field calls. But then the board kind of went a certain way, and here we are.
That's an interesting roster right now.
Washington?
Yeah.
Yeah.
With Bub Carrington, Sar, CJ McCollum, Chris Middleton, Koulibaly, Smart, Trey Johnson, Keyshawn George, Kelly Olynyk, and Corey Kispert. That's a playoff team in the East?
Yeah, I don't think so. Well, if you lean heavy into the vets,
that's a playoff team.
Next year, maybe.
That's a playoff team.
Like, if you're starting Smart, CJ, Koulibaly, Sar, Olynyk, you could probably talk me into that being like a 39 win team, which will probably.
By the way, playing Chicago Bulls 39-43.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Like, you could.
If
you play the vets heavy.
The Atlanta Hot. Or wait. The 10th seed was the 37-45 Miami Heat. Then you had the 39-43 Chicago Bulls and the 40-42 Atlanta Hawks.
And they'll be better.
Look at the teams ahead of them. Boston without Tatum, Indiana without Hallie, Milwaukee without Dame. Mm-hmm. Like they, and neither Miami, one of those teams are going to fall off the face of the earth far enough to not be a playoff team.
But you got Orlando and Cleveland probably sitting at the top of the Eastern Conference. You worried about Miami?
And look, is Toronto going to be good enough to get into the playoffs?
Maybe.
Brooklyn?
Detroit?
No. But Detroit already wasn't in the playoffs.
Three teams at the top.
There's teams that will drop, mm-hmm. and that allows Washington to...
They could find themselves in a play-in situation if they lean into the vets. Yeah.
Then you had Jeremiah Fears, the Oklahoma guard, going to New Orleans. Mm-hmm. Yegor Demon going eighth overall to Brooklyn.
That's the first real surprise.
And then you had, at nine, Colin Murray Boyles, the South Carolina forward, getting drafted by the Toronto Raptors, where he stood up and mumbled to himself, F.
Mm-hmm.
But not just a letter, the full word.
Yeah.
And it was as clear as day. He took a sigh. He looked down. His eyes kind of got big. He went, ugh.
I mean, this is a guy from South Carolina going to Toronto. I mean, that's the thing.
Texas, he might not like. The city, he will. Toronto's awesome.
Toronto's a dope city.
Toronto's rad. Yeah. And I don't think the young people really understand it. Toronto is a melting pot city.
It's mini New York. It's very, very, very diverse.
It is. It's a cool ass place. Mm-hmm. And right now, though, the direction of that franchise, though, they're a mess, dude.
Yeah, it's up in the air. It's Scotty Barnes, it's Emmanuel Quickly. It's now CMB. You're just kind of like Grady Dick.
And then you can go at 10. Kaman Malawach goes to the Houston Rockets, and they get Phoenix.
Yeah.
Phoenix, because the KD trade, but
the board could not have fallen better for Phoenix.
Phoenix just stumbled ass backwards into finding a big.
No one thought Malawach would fall to 10. And then the Suns also made the trade on draft day to acquire Mark Williams. So now they have their two bigs. And it's kind of funny.
We've seen Mark Williams traded before, and that get nixed.
Yeah. So I'm very interested to see how his physical goes. I had somebody tell me that with the Lakers, when they got Williams' physical, Mark Williams wishes he had Robert Williams' physicals.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yikes. Yeah. Well, Blazers. Trying to trade that kind of asset right now.
Interesting.
Oh, man. And then the Blazers traded the 11th pick to Memphis, where Cedric Coward goes to the Grizzlies.
Yep.
That's a good fit
I had Cedric mocked to Memphis at 16. In that 15-16, if Oklahoma City moved up and somebody moved back to 15, because Sorber to OKC was, it was just a giant red light on the wall screaming. 6'10", 260-pound big guy who can protect Chet. Everybody in their mom was like, yeah, he's going to Oklahoma City. Everybody knows that. So you can just kind of put that one dartboard up there. But nobody knew what San Antonio was going to do. And when Carter Bryant falls to them, they went, yoink.
Boy, and then as you kind of go down and you see, you mentioned Sorber going to Oklahoma City, but Carter Bryant, one pick before, goes to the San Antonio Spurs. San Antonio made out like bandits. Dylan Harper and Carter Bryant, I don't think they could have envisioned a day going as good as that did for them.
The surprise is Derek Queen.
Derek Queen at 13 going to New Orleans.
And yesterday I said, if Derek Queen doesn't go 7 to New Orleans, that's where you could see him fall, because there was a lot of noise around that. They ended up trading back and giving up a 2026 unprotected first round pick.
Yikes, dog.
To go to pick 13 and swap with Atlanta to 23. And it worked out for Atlanta because Asa Newell was the guy that they targeted. And that's who I had Asa mocked 13 to the Hawks, because there was a lot of smoke around that, I'll say. But the Pelicans are one Zion hamstring away from giving up a juicy draft pick to the Atlanta Hawks. There's no doubt about that. And you drafted a guy in Derek Queen.
It's a good thing he never gets hurt.
Right. Yeah. And it's not like DeJounte Murray's coming off an Achilles injury, or Trey Murphy III didn't have injuries, or Herb Jones doesn't have injuries. It's like, oh, God. Not only that, defensively, you might as well have a guy out there conducting the runway. Zion and Derek Queen? Good God, I couldn't imagine a worse defensive pairing.
Well, we'll see.
And it's really good that they've got they don't have an elite rim protector.
Well, that's all right. They'll figure it out. All right. Who had, I mean, San Antonio, I think they knocked it out of the park, but there's two other teams that I think did really well in the first round. The Phoenix Suns getting Kaman Malawa, and then Liam McNeil, or they traded that to Charlotte, didn't they? They traded that to Charlotte. Never mind. I like the Liam McNeely trade, except
He's a guy who fell. He had some noise around him to Miami before it was Walter Clayton Jr.
6'7" UConn forward who...
I heard his workouts did not go as well as he had hoped.
Yeah. But what about Utah?
Mm-hmm. I think they made out like bandits.
Ace Bailey and Walter Clayton Jr.,
I think they made out like bandits.
They as did far as a like, really good job. I think
as far as taking swings.
Those three teams, San Antonio, nails,
mm-hmm.
Phoenix getting Malawach, and then Mark Williams. I mean, that was a huge day for them.
No, they went from having no bigs to having like three viable bigs.
And the Lakers are sitting there going, oh, we wish we could have done that because they're still having a big issue.
Mm-hmm.
And then Utah is sitting there and going, we got Walker Kessler. We got Lauri Markkanen. We go and we get Ace Bailey. Taylor Hendricks is going to be back. Hopefully he's recovered from that gruesome
devastating
injury.
Compound fracture.
They filled holes there. Mm-hmm. They really filled holes.
And again, I have a ton of questions about Ace, but it's the same thing I'll say about Hansen. If he's your guy, go get your guy.
Yeah.
One way or the other, if that's the guy you're going to get and that's the one you're going to roll your dice with, go get him.
All right. Let's get to, look, the Phoenix Suns got their guy. And they got bigs. They had none.
Mm-hmm.
Portland has all of them.
Yes.
Five centers on the roster. I mean, four that people will truly and really care about, right?
Yeah. I mean, Wop's he's a good third big on basically every team.
Okay.
But problem is he's fifth.
He is fifth on this team. And people ain't trading for their third big on a team, mm-hmm. right? So, Young Hansen, Donovan Clingan, Robert Williams, DeAndre Ayton,
mm-hmm.
and then Duop Reith. What are the Blazers going to do now?
Mm-hmm.
Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Portland Trailblazers drafted Young Hung Sen with the 16th overall pick. He is a 7'2" center out of China. If you think that it was a horrific pick, that's your opinion. If you think it was a great pick, so that's your opinion. The reality is we have no earthly idea how he is going to translate to the NBA and how he is going to work in the NBA style of basketball against the athletes over here. It was a reach. And Joe Cronin told us last night, his words, a reach at 16. Mm-hmm. They knew it. But we don't know how it's going to pan out. It feels like it's careening down a very bad path right now, especially when you're at 11 and there's a lot of very talented players that were taken. What are you going to do? Right? We don't know. What we do know is the very real situation that the Blazers have five centers right now on their roster. There's a third of their roster plays center.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like they're guys that you can squint and you go,
Rob's the only one that can really
play four. Four and five. Yeah. Rob Williams is the only guy that you're like, he can play four.
Yeah.
What are they going to do next? And who is the first casualty to go? Because you can look at it one of two ways. DeAndre Ayton's on an expiring deal. And Robert Williams is a veteran that, when healthy, can be a very productive player.
Good.
And you could say one thing about his time in Portland. He hadn't put a lot of tread on those tires.
Nope. The one you left out here is, we talked about this yesterday, if the Blazers had taken a point guard, what does it say about Scoot Henderson? Where my brain immediately goes when I hear the Blazers were hoping to get Young over here last year in the second round were there questions about Donovan.
Yeah.
And that's what I wonder is, do they think long term that Donovan is going to be the answer, or do they look at him as, is this a Nurkic Jokic situation where they take Nurkic 16th, they take Jokic 41st, they get those guys in camp, and it's evident. I can't remember who it was. Oh, it was Mike Miller. Mike Miller, former NBA player, now NBA agent. He had gotten traded to Portland as part of like the buyout and move over there. And he just went in there in street clothes. And coach asked him, you know, what do you think of the young big guys? He goes, I don't know, man, but the fat kid's the best guy on the floor. He was talking about Jokic. Like, it was evident. Like, with watching him for 20 minutes, he was like, that's the best player on the team. It's not even close. Like,
yeah.
And so is this that situation where, and I've got to beat this analogy to death, where they're going to break the pool cue and throw it in there and go, you two figure it out.
Well, I said this yesterday when we were talking about the point guards. Mm-hmm. It's like, competition is good. Mm-hmm. And you want to have competition if you are not 100% sold on a guy. Donovan Klingon flashed a lot of really good things.
Particularly on the defensive end.
But offensively,
there are questions.
A lot of them. Conditioning, there are questions. And can he be as effective on the defensive end if he doesn't have the girth that he has? But if you want to get his conditioning up and you want to get him a little bit quicker, the girth is going to have to go down a little bit.
And the other thing about it is I wonder if the Blazers, and they talked about watching these playoffs in the press conference and feel IQ and all the things, like, I don't think Donovan lacks that. No. I just think they look at, and I've been a Rudy Gobert defender of sorts, in the sense of Rudy Gobert, when people talk about him getting played off the floor, he's never been played off the floor defensively. He's played off the floor offensively. And I wonder if they look at Donovan, and Donovan's biggest issue is not just his finishing, it's his hands, his consistency with his hands. And I'll tell you right now, from the limited tape that I've watched, Hansen's hands are orders of magnitude greater than Donovan's.
Yeah, you need to go Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey. Remember when he had those two little hairy guys and they ran into each other and they made one person?
Yeah.
That's what you need.
Yeah.
You need to see if Young Henson and Donovan Klingon just run into each other and make one person.
Go full on the fly.
Yeah, just see if it can happen.
Yeah.
Because I think if you put them together, you got a really damn good player.
If Donovan had Hansen's touch, hands, feel, passing, that's a monster. And if Hansen's offensive game could marry up with Donovan's rim protection, rebounding, shot blocking, that's a monster of a player. But I think the easy thing to look at now is they have so many bigs that the most likely quote unquote casualty here is one of D.A. or Rob.
Yeah.
And the thing is, there are at least three teams in the NBA right now that need bigs. And I've heard D.A.'s name come up. I've heard Rob's name come up. What do they do? How do they do it? Where do they go? And the question that I have here is, having made this pick, and everybody knows that you have five centers now, will teams operate under the auspices of trying to leverage you? Or do they try to project confidence and say, screw it, we're going to put, you know, our goal with Young in year one is just to get him acclimated to the U.S. and get him up to speed and playing at professional level. We're perfectly happy keeping him in the G League, and we'll roll with the four that we have right now. And if you're not going to pay up, we're not going to do this.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's not but I think that if you have teams calling on bigs, it's because they have a massive hole that they need to fill. And you then have the leverage there.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's it. And this is, I talked about this earlier. There is a silver lining in the Young Henson draft pick. The Lakers need a big.
Mm-hmm.
And you prevented them from having a really skilled one.
Mm-hmm.
To me, I love that.
Yeah, no, it's fun.
Now, just don't screw it up by giving them one of your five bigs that you have on the roster right now.
And if you do, take every pound of flesh with you.
All of the flesh. All of it.
I mean, Rob Pelinka's over a barrel right now, no matter who he deals for. whether it's with Portland or somebody else, whether it's going and getting Gafford from, that's actually one of the transactions we didn't talk about when we were gone. Daniel Gafford signed an extension with the Dallas Mavericks, and shout out Shams for carrying the agent water of saying a deal close to $60 million, which would make him untradeable. The deal is $54 million, which makes him immediately tradable. Because if he had crossed over that threshold and over 54, he would have not been able to be tradable for 6 months. That's a pretty big deal when you're talking about like a guy being on the market versus off the market. It's like, well, they may have re-signed him, but he's immediately tradable.
Yeah.
So like that's an asset they can still look to flip. And it's not over that threshold. So you take a look around the NBA, how many teams need bigs? How many teams have the capacity to trade bigs away? And knowing what the Lakers were willing to pay for Mark Williams, you've got Rob Pelinka over a barrel.
No, and here's the issue with figuring out that five-man logjam you have.
Mm-hmm.
You really still aren't going to know what you have in Yong Hensen for quite a while.
No.
They talked about that yesterday. Cronin was like very clear, like, the plan is to get him here as soon as we can. He'll be here tomorrow.
Yeah. His introduction is tomorrow morning.
And he is already stateside because he literally came out of the rafters like he was Sting at a wrestling event and lowered down because he wasn't in the green room.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was in New York. He's coming out to Portland. He will be here. And they are going to have their unveiling tomorrow of him. Now, how quickly can he acclimate to playing basketball in the NBA? We're going to get a look at him at Summer League. We're going to find mm-hmm. something out there. And we haven't heard anything on what the Summer League roster looks like, and you don't for another, like, week or so.
Yeah, because the guys that don't get drafted. And
But is Donovan going to be there?
I was told at the end of the season it was on the table if you wanted to go. Which usually guys in year one and year two, those like every night, like when you see year three guy, you're always like,
Well, and when you have a question over your capacity to play 48 minutes basketball,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I'm not saying he plays 48 minutes. I'm saying a 48 minute game.
Yeah.
You want to get that conditioning in game.
And if you go down there in year two, the goal is if you're going to play in year two, you're so good in games one and two, like, all right, we're good.
We're good.
Pack it up. It's not even like a prove it, but it's like, it's a quasi, like, yeah. Go show you don't need to be here.
But we may see the 16th overall pick start with the Rip City Remix.
Mm-hmm.
Because the acclimation, and look, we were talking about the bigs not being up to snuff in China. They're not in the G League. No. We know that for sure.
Duop Reith went down there for a game and dropped 37.
Yeah. So, but we may see him start there just to get his feet. I mean, he's 20 years old.
Mm-hmm.
He is a puppy still.
And Jonah's down there as the head coach. He was assisted on the bench last year. It's going to be the same system, the same terminology. It allows him to get acclimated.
By the way, turns 20 today. Happy birthday.
The thing the Blazers, when I asked about, you know, what are your kind of KPIs in year one? Getting him acclimated not only to the NBA, but to the U.S., to the language, to the culture, to just like go through all of that stuff. I've been told that on the language side of things, he speaks basketball very well. Roth was talking about that and like his conversations, like he understands the game very, very well. But if you try to get him into conversational English, he's still catching up in that. So he'll have a translator here. They'll help him get acclimated. They'll do all the things that they can get him used to diet, nutrition, being in the U.S. and how you move around in the U.S. and all the things that kind of come with that. There's also going to be a bonanza. Jackie Huey was on the Summer League roster last year.
Oh, yeah.
There was like 15 Chinese reporters. This is a much more high-profile deal. There is going to be Tencent is going to send over a whole gaggle.
Did you see the Henry Abbott tweet following the draft pick? Henry Abbott tweeted out,
I love Henry, but I don't buy this one bit.
He said, how much does this draft pick go to incentivize
a Chinese owner
to like, buy the Blazers? And because remember, this is unlike most sales in the NBA. This is a straight up auction.
Yeah. They'll have some say in it, but like I had somebody,
everybody has to be vetted. Yeah. Of course, to be,
I had somebody tell me, last night, because I had a couple people ask me about this, and it is a thought in a couple front offices because they're trying to justify why you would make this pick there. And if that's the path you want to go down, fine. I don't buy it. But I had somebody tell me the other day, like,
you don't do it at 16.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, if you're doing that whole thing, you do it with like Jackie Hui. You mm-hmm. put him on a two-way, and like, that's, you don't, if you're going to acquiesce along the lines, that's where you do it. But with this, I don't buy it, number one. Number two, when you look at like the billionaires in China, and like, this gets super into the global economy and politics, those guys are not putting money into the U.S. right now. I would be stunned if that changed.
Sure.
So at least from that point of view, that's where I'm at with that stuff. So, all right, coming up, worst day on the web, ESPN's broadcast. Again, the source of contention. And we'll dive into that next. But first, here's Big Kuna with Sports Center Update.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time for today's worst day on the web with Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
Well, that sucks.
Coming out of the NBA draft last night, I was doing the live show on the Jack Ramsey's YouTube page, and thankfully I had the audio muted for most of the night, because one, I didn't get hit with a copyright violation from the old YouTubes. But number two, I didn't give a damn about anything the guys they had up there had to say.
That draft coverage was not good by ESPN.
No. Look,
ESPN radio, I was listening on 910. It was really good.
With PJ and the boys?
Yeah.
I mean, PJ's still going to games, man.
Yeah.
Like I was,
and watching college basketball too.
I was driving to the practice facility, and I flipped on 910 just to keep up with the coverage while I was driving, and listened to PJ. Every single guy they interview is like, yeah, no, I was at this game. I was watching you on this. And I was like, he had Asa Newell on. He was like, I made it out to Georgia for a couple of games, and hey, your offensive rebounding, love it. Keep doing that in the NBA. We, as coaches, we'll get you on the floor. We love extra possessions. Like, I'm sitting there going, yeah, you getting the former prolific head coach on the broadcast was a great call. Why is Tim Legler not featured on the broadcast? Why is Gavoni not featured on the broadcast? Why isn't literally anybody else who is in this space? I know Jeremy Wu doesn't like to do the forward-facing stuff, but he's very good at what he does. But like, why not get the people who know what they're talking about? Like, Bobby Marks, totally fine. Love Bobby. Have Bobby up there for all the salary ramifications, all the trades, all the machinations, because he worked in a front office.
No doubt about it.
And the whole, like, will Kendrick play in the NBA? Do you know how many players play in the NBA who I do not care what they have to say? I have heard them talk about things, and I just go, in what world does that exist?
It seems like there is a weird bubble that they are living in, where it seems like Stephen A. Smith and Kendrick Perkins
are dominating their NBA coverage.
Whatever they bubble they're in, those guys are must-see TV on their NBA coverage. That is not the case. No. That is not the case from the hardcore fan of the NBA, the casual fan of the NBA. You're not getting anything.
No.
And there were long stretches where they were just kind of like silent, or they'd rip off some hot take about a player, and it's like, you don't know. Like, you have no earthly idea what these guys are going to be like in the NBA. No. And you know what the worst part about it is? They ripped a lot of guys, or they fired off takes on guys, good or bad. Mm-hmm. All it's going to do is going to be clipped and replayed over when it goes over the other way, because mm-hmm. it's the freaking NBA draft.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, you know, we got audio from Bill Simmons last night, and Bill spent a long time at ESPN with Grantland, and he has taken basically anybody who was good, in-depth, and functional, who's been an ESPN employee and brought them over to the Ringer, but he just absolutely skewered him. I think he's dead on.
Toronto took Colin Murray-Boyles, leading Kendrick Perkins. I didn't know which telecast to watch. It was like, do I take this samurai sword and jam it into my temple, or do I take this chainsaw and saw my leg off? I couldn't figure it out. Perk, they took Colin Murray-Boyles, and Perk said they have the pieces, and they're a top six team in the East. And at that point, I started looking for a third ESPN channel, but there are only two covering the draft. There wasn't a third one, at least one that I couldn't find. But I didn't mind that pick. And then Malowicz at 10. And then we had a trade, and then the draft started getting really weird. Cedric Coward, Memphis, moves up with Portland. Malika calls him Colin Coward, which is exciting. I thought Colin Coward got drafted for a second.
So the Portland Trailblazers select Colin Coward here.
That was tough, man.
Oof.
That was tough. That was a tough look for... Look, Malika Andrews does as good of a job as you possibly can controlling that crew.
Yeah.
It's not easy to do.
No.
She had that moment.
It happens.
It's Cedric Coward.
Yeah.
She went Colin Coward, the more famous person who is Cowherd, not Coward.
Yeah, also, both Northwest ties. Actually, yeah. All three individuals, Northwest ties.
Yeah. And Malika and Oregon in Portland. Ties. Colin here on the fan, mm-hmm. Malika, University of Portland,
like, and Cedric Coward at Willamette.
Yeah, I mean, we got it.
It's, I mean, I can see the crossover. It happens, but I think Bill is absolutely right. The whole I don't know whether to stab myself in the eye or cut off a leg. It's just like, what are we doing with a look at the NFL draft that is hosted by the same network? They have gotten look. Mel made an ass of himself.
He this year, and he does it every few years. Yeah. The Jimmy Clausen year was one where he did the same
Shadour
thing.
The stuff was just, come on, dude. But
it was brutal.
But the whole, like, you know, Mel doesn't do the tape or Mel doesn't get into this, that's crazy talk. Like,
yeah.
He knows. Now, he can have an opinion that you can violently disagree with.
Yeah.
But it's not for lack of work or knowledge or understanding or discussions with front offices or anything along those lines. It's an informed opinion.
No doubt about it.
I look at ESPN now and like those guys' lips start moving and it's just an automatic mute. I'm out.
Yeah.
You put legs back up there, all of a sudden I perk up my chair and going, all right, what's legs talking about? And so legs does work with Allsport. The DNVR, PHNX, CHGO.
Allsport. I thought it was like the carbonated drink. Sports drink. Yeah. Let's go.
Or All City, I'm sorry. That's why I got the All-Sport crossed up. The All-City Network.
See? And Malika. It happens.
But he does a show with Adam Morris from DNVR.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say twice a week. And it's one of my must-listen to's because Adam is incredibly smart. Legs is incredibly smart. And those are guys, when you get those two very smart guys in a room together and them talking... They give a damn about the game, the transaction, and how it affects the game. Not just the transaction. Like, why does this matter? Here's how you can look at it. And Legs does it as well as anybody, being short and succinct. Like, you give him 2 minutes. I suck at this. I have to have 3 hours. Legs can do a 2-minute segment and hit a home run every single time, and you just go, damn, that's good.
And that is where there are a lot of people that can do this really well. Where you can speak to a high level and where you are reaching the people who know a hell of a lot about what you're talking about. But also, the term in the industry, dumb it down to people who have no idea what you're talking about.
Legs is the smartest 30,000-foot view while also having a lens at, 3,000 micrometers. Like, he can take that thing and bring it out to 30,000 feet and... make it relevant and digestible to me better than anybody else on at ESPN.
That is all draft coverage should be.
Yeah. because that's what it's about. It's about the granular. It's about the little things and understanding the difference between two guards. Well, one of them, their ability to manipulate the pick and roll was less dependent on how good a screen was and more about their ability to turn the corner because their ankle angle or shin angle can get to this. Like, I'll use Tyrese Maxey as an example. Tyrese Maxey tested
See,
out.
This is you going too far.
I know, but this is what I want to say is like, somebody who worked at P3, we've talked about P3 a bunch, the testing facility. I was talking to this guy who worked there, and I mentioned Amen Thompson. I go, to me, he's the best athlete in the NBA. And I go, who's that guy for you? He goes, Amen's definitely there. But he goes, if you're talking overall athleticism, it's Tyrese Maxey. It's not just his speed. It's not just his quickness. It's his pliability and ability to turn the corner. And how much that matters for a guy his size is that he can always create an advantage because his ability to flatten his shins out and be explosive around a screen and not decelerate, like those little micro things and being able to take that and go, he's really good because of this. And boiling that down to a 30-second thing, like that's what I want. I think that's what basketball fans want is like, he puts ball in hoop. It's like, well, okay. Well,
what does he do and why does it matter?
Yeah.
That's it. That's all it comes down to is what does he do? Why does it matter? And if you can get to that quickly, that is one of the most important things that you can do in these situations. And ESPN's missing the mark. And look, I get why they pay them a lot of money to do First Take. It's not a show that I watch or that I like, or that I think I'll ever like. But at the same time, I understand why people watch it, and I understand why people like it. But that's not, you're not speaking to the masses there. Like, that is just not the reality.
Making everything a debate show is not where this is.
It was a bad product last night.
All right, we got through the lottery. When we get back, let's take a look at the rest of the first round, who rose, who fell, and which teams are coming out of this draft scratching their head, and which teams came out of this really, really, really looking forward to next season. We'll get to that next here on Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan. Right, early in the show, we got through the first half of the first round, leading up to the Blazers picking at 16 with Yong Hansen after trading back from 11 with the Memphis Grizzlies, where the Grizzlies move up to 11, take Cedric Coward from Washington State, and in return, the Trailblazers get a 2028 unprotected pick from the Orlando Magic via the Memphis Grizzlies.
One thing we didn't talk about, Colin Cowherd, his tweet.
AI tweet.
Yeah, they did. There was a couple of them that went around. One of the AI tweets had him in a Blazers jersey and jorts, which I just imagine, like, if Colin saw that, he would just so upset. He's like, why am I in jorts? I mean, it says something about us
because
here.
Because it fits the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah, it says something about us, and I'm okay with it here. Mm-hmm. But Colin, I think, would be like, why? I would never wear jorts. And it's like, now, baby. Rip City!
The only thing he would hate more is if they put a backward hat on him, too.
Ooh.
That would have been great.
You need to do that. We just AI prompt it. Colin Cowherd in a Blazers jersey wearing a backwards hat in Daisy Duke jorts.
And make that Blazer uniform a plaid pattern.
Wow.
Wow.
Go lumberjack on him?
Absolutely.
Yeah, all right. I'm picking up what you're putting down.
Lumber Dr. Jack.
The Blazers, obviously, they trade back with Memphis. Memphis takes Cedric Coward. And for moving back five spots, the Blazers get pick number 16, a 2028 unprotected first-round pick from the Orlando Magic via the Memphis Grizzlies. Two second-round picks. Again, not a huge deal, but I believe it was a 2026 and a 27. One from the Knicks. And, God, I can't remember because my brain's mush. Anyways, the second-round pick capital.
By the way, we haven't talked about that Orlando pick much. If they stall for whatever reason, having that pick is valuable.
That's the year where Franz, Paulo, Bane, like that money, all and Suggs, all hits.
Yep.
That's a pick that does have potential value. And it's like the Magic are good right now, and they've got three, four very good young players. But the Magic are not an organization that have this history of success. Mm-hmm. They aren't a place that attract free agents. They almost got Tim Duncan.
Almost.
They came real close to landing Tim Duncan in his prime. Super close. But that's not a play, despite it being Florida, it doesn't have the allure of further down to Miami. But the Blazers take Hansen Yang at 16. It is a massive, out-of-nowhere pick. But the draft continues on. And a player that I got lucky on this one, I had Johan Berenger mock to the Minnesota Timberwolves. He is the best shot blocker in this draft. He's an enormous dude. I think he's got a 7'6" or 7'7" wingspan.
Ooh, how did the mock pan out? How many did you get? Cooper Flagg, Dylan Harper,
so
nailed it. Got VJ Edgecombe.
Got the first four.
Yep. Colin Knipple.
I had Trey Johnson at 5.
Okay.
I had Ace at 6.
So you swapped those two.
I swapped those two. I had Asenge to the Raptors that I got wrong. I had Malawach to the Nets.
You had Yegor Demin going to Brooklyn?
No, I had Malawach going to the Nets.
Malawach to
and
the Nets.
And then at 10, I had, if I remember right, my last one, I think I had Carter.
When the trades happen, everything gets thrown out. And Houston traded with Phoenix for 10. Portland traded out of 11.
Well, I had Colin Murray-Boyles if the Rockets were going to keep the pick.
Okay. And that was only one away.
Yeah. And so, because they obviously need the big help. And then I had Kasparis going to Portland. I had Sorber at 15. That one I know I nailed. I had Behringer going to the Spurs.
All right.
No, I moved him back to 17, the last one.
Yeah, you had him in Minnesota, you said.
I put Yegor at 14.
Mm.
I put Yegor at 14, and I had a little note of, like, he's here, but I think San Antonio could entertain a trade here, and Yegor goes 14. I had Asa at 13, which the Hawks were considering, and they trade that pick to the Pelicans, and that ends up being Queen. So,
all right.
I did really well with, like, slotting of guys, except for Kasparis.
Yeah.
And Kasparis was the guy that saw the biggest slide. Fell 10 spots.
A lot of people had him outside of the top 15.
No.
Like,
the kind of the floor of him.
Fewer had 20.
Chicago not taking him was, whoa. Like, I know Asenge was there.
He's an Illinois guy.
He's also Lithuanian. Which, yeah. Arturas Kasanovas, who is Lithuanian, is familiar with him. Modest Bazalis is Lithuanian. Like, that felt like that was going to be that was the shocker to me of that. I was like, oh, there goes Kasparis. Like, they take Noah, though, and they go down that path. But Behringer for Minnesota, I mocked him there because there was some talk, obviously, about before the Durant deal. But I go, he is a ready-made Rudy Gobert replacement. Rim runner, shot blocker, rebounder. Okay, you can figure that out because Rudy's going to get real expensive.
And now Rudy's not going to Phoenix, which we thought. Phoenix, shore that up.
And if you're going to try and get your books right in the next couple of years, having a guy ready-made to step in for him, it's a good spot to go. After that, you get the Utah Jazz trading up in front of the Miami Heat to go get a guy that they wanted in Walter Clayton Jr. The Miami Heat had a promise out for Walter Clayton Jr., the Florida product. I was told that in his workout for the Jazz, he shot the living bleep out of the ball.
Well, we saw that in the NCAA tournament, too.
He is an off-platform, stone-cold, get-to-his-spot, pull-up, off-screens, off-get actions, off-DHOs, pick-and-roll. He is a bucket-getter.
The interesting part, though, will be how can he create those shots in the NBA where everybody's long?
Yep, because he is 6'1". But he's the hooper. He's a gamer. Like, he just finds a way. After that, one of the promises hits, and the Brooklyn Nets take their second point guard, French prospect Nolan Traore. He was out here for Hoop Summit. He was very impressive. He is very fast, very quick, but the shooting is the question mark. It's like, can he shoot the ball? Because if he can't, he's just very fast and a good playmaker.
I hear that's important.
It is important.
Yep. I want to get your thoughts on this pick here because his skill set and his mind are two things that you like. Mm-hmm. His size, you absolutely questioned. Jace Richardson going to Orlando, where you have Jalen Suggs coming off of injuries, right? How does he slide into that lineup?
So Jace is a guy, you know, I've talked about his size. He referenced Mike Conley as kind of being the guy. If you're going to go to a team that can defensively insulate you, having a dog like Jalen Suggs and having a dog like Desmond Bain and Franz Wagner and Paolo Banchero, guys that are big, strong, physical, that is a very, 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 very good landing spot for you if you're Jace Richardson. Because the thought with Jace is if you can defensively insulate him, his feel, his IQ, his shot making, his ability to pull up, his ability as a creator, like he played combo guard, he played off ball to start at Michigan State. Izzo moved him more to the point guard position. And when I asked Jace, like, what position he plays going in the NBA, he's like, I'm a one.
Yeah.
And he wants to show that not his score. He wants to show his playmaking prowess.
Which is an interesting move, because when they moved Cole Anthony, it was because they had a logjam at point guard. And then now you have recreated that logjam again with Jalen Suggs, Anthony Black, and now Jace Richardson.
Yeah, I had Jace going 24. Man. So off by one. One guy that didn't go in the first round was Rashear Fleming. That was a bit of a surprise. Now, I had him in the 20s. I know a lot of people like the Blazers should take him 11. Nobody was, and I know saying this with Young Hansen is kind of funny. Nobody thought he was going to go there. But nobody really had Rashear above 20.
Yeah. And that St. Joe's.
That was
he came in early in the process for Portland.
He did. There really, for me, there weren't really many more surprises after that. Drake Powell was another one of the promises. He ends up as part of the trade to get Kristaps. That pick goes to the Nets. They take Drake Powell at 23. Will Riley, project guy from Illinois, goes to Washington. That's another Washington's going. Yeah, we'll take a flyer on a 6'7" ball handler. Let's see what happens here. One of my favorite guys in the draft, Nate Clifford, unfortunately going to Sacramento. I was listening to on 910, and they go, "Yeah, you're a pick for Oklahoma City Thunder. What's it like to go to the champion?" He's like, "Well, yeah, I just got told I'm going to Sacramento." And they're like, "Yeah, we let you break that news," because they knew, but it was tough. We'll finish some of this up a little bit later in the show for the rest of the first round, and maybe look towards the second round. But going into hour number three, the adjustment for Young Hansen, what is that actually going to look like as he gets into Portland, into a different culture, into a different country, and into a different league, and all of the ramifications that come along with that? We'll get to that here in hour number three on Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EAR-POD-1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.